Today's daf is Shabbos daf Kuf Chaf Gimel, and we are at the beginning of a new perek, the 17th perek of Masechet Shabbos, perek Kol Hakelim on daf Kuf Chaf Beis Amid Beis. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refuah Shalema for Shlomo ben Sarah Aliza, Harav David ben Shimma, Avram ben Gittel, Shoshana bas Esther Bela, Meir ben Chanala, Avram Kaddish ben Malka Bela, Avram Yekasil ben Gittel, Chana Gittel bas Brindel, Rafal Chaim Shayosha ben Babachai Rivka, Tzvi ben Hinda, Yehuda Leib Chizkiyo ben Basya, Chaim Biyam Mordechai ben Ida, Chizkiyo Shloim Ziskin ben Nechama, Yosef Tzvi ben Chana Henala, Yoachmil Tzvi Moshe ben Chana, Harav Chaim Doiv ben Krindel, Shoshana Tova bas Esther, Michal Shoshana bas Tova Adasa, and Chava Serol bas Chana Freida. Today's daf's also being learned. Le'ilui Nishmas, Yichil Yosef ben Tzvi Betzalel, Shloim Mezeb ben Avram Yitzchak, and Mordechai Ziskind ben Meir Elchanan. So the topic of the 17th parak of Masech de Shabbos is the halachos of Mukta. And it's interesting because although the sugyas of Mukta take up many dafin in Masech de Shabbos and Masech de Beya for that mattered, but the sugyas are scattered. So we had several dafin of mukta when we learned Perikira, and now we're going to have quote unquote the rest of the story or the rest of the dafin as they relate to the laws of mukta. So the truth is that we did a proper Hakdama to Hilchas Mukta when we learned Perikira. I don't think that we need to repeat it, but just to remember and reminisce a few points where as it relate to Mukta so that we can segue into some of these Gemaras. Number one, what exactly is Mukta? The law of Mukta states that in order for someone to use an object on Shabbos, he would have to have had prepared the object before Shabbos. If you want to use something on Shabbos, you have to prepare for it. Misha tarach be'erev Shabbos, yoichal b'Shabbos. Meaning, if the item wasn't specifically designated to be used on Shabbos, the halacha is, conceptually, you wouldn't be allowed to use that item on Shabbos. An item has to be mukhan. If it's not mukhan, then by definition, it's mukta. Stating that, it doesn't mean that a person literally has to walk through his house before Shabbos and say to himself, I'm going to use this and I'm going to use that. But rather, Chazal made certain assumptions and they deemed certain things to be mukhan. And they deemed certain things to be mukta. In fact, whenever you talk about mukta, it's important to know why the item is mukta. Different things can be mukta for different reasons. And the reason why the item is mukta can impact the halacha. So for example, something could be mukta machmas gufay. That's something that is mukta because it wasn't designated for Shabbos, because it's not something that's ever used. Not on Shabbos, not on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday. Something can be mukta machmas iser. It's mukta not because people don't use it, but because using it would involve doing something that you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. Something can be mukta machmas mius, noilad, basis ledavara aser, mukta le mitzvasai. Something could be mukta machmas chasar and kiss. There's something called a keli shemalachte le'isr that we're going to see a little bit more about in today's daf. Regardless, different things can be mukta for different reasons, and the reason something is mukta can impact the halacha. As it relates to the isr mukta, is it an isr derabanan or an isr deiraisa? The short answer is, it's an isr derabanan. In fact, the Rambam in Hilchas Shabbos gives three reasons why the Chachamim said that mukta is asr, the Ravid is masik on the Rambam, that for all the reasons that the Rambam gave, he believes he omitted the most obvious one, the one that the Gemara talks about. We're going to see more about that in this parak that we're about to learn. Stating that, there's a Rashi, Masech Tzbeya, Daf Beis Amud Beis, where Rashi says, then Issur Mukta is an Issur Deiraisas. What does that mean? Throughout Chazal, Issur Mukta goes down as an Issur Derabanan. So how could Rashi suddenly say that the Issur Mukta is an Issur Deiraisa? We mentioned in the original introduction to Mukta, a Teretz or a Hezber from the Chassam Sofer in his introduction to Masech Tzbeya, and from the Pnei Yeshua, the Inkam Mekoymer. The other thing that we need to remember as it relates to Mukta is that there was a major machloikis tanoim as to the extent that the laws of Mukta were meant to be taken. Reb Shimon, the Gemara says throughout Shas, is lesle mukta. Reb Yehuda, the Gemara says throughout Shas, was isle mukta. Stating that, it's a little bit of a misnomer, because both Reb Shimon and Reb Yehuda really are isle mukta. They both agree there's a concept of mukta. The machloikis Reb Shimon, Reb Yehuda, is to the extent of mukta, meaning how far does mukta go? The parameters of mukta. How often we apply the laws of mukta. Reb Shimon is lesle mukta in the relative sense. Relative to Reb Yehuda, who was very machmer mukta, Reb Shimon was Mekel Mukta. So there's Reb Shimon who was Lesley Mukta, there was Reb Yehuda who was Islay Mukta. In addition to that, there's a third Shita that we're going to see a lot about here in the 17th Parak of Masechta Shabbos, and that Shita is Reb Nechemya. Reb Nechemya was even more Machmer than Reb Yehuda. So in essence, even though in most Gemaras in Shas that deal with Mukta, there's two Shitas, there's Reb Shimon Shita and Reb Yehuda Shita, really there's a third Shita, and that's the Shita of Reb Nechemya. So Reb Shimon was the most Mekel, Reb Nechemya was the most Machmer, and Reb Yehuda Shita is somewhere in between. Either way, on that note, Zok the Mishnah. Kol HaKelim Nitolim B'Shabbos. All Kelim are allowed to be carried on Shabbos, meaning they're not Mukta. V'dal Soiseyam Imot. Not just that. If you have a Keli that has a door attached to it, Rashi says, such as a Shida, a Teva, a Migdal, a wagon, a box, or a closet, there's a door attached to it. Not only is the Shida, Teva, or Migdal itself not Mukta, but the door is not Mukta either. And the Mishnah says, Anfal Pishan is Sparkle. And that's true even if the door would come off. Meaning you would think if the door is attached to the Shita Teva Migdal, the Shita Teva Migdal is not Mukta, so the door is also not going to be Mukta. No, the Chiddush is that even if it's detached, so now it's just the door, still the halacha is, it's not Mukta. And the reason is, meaning, says the Mishnah, don't confuse the door of a keli to the door of a house. A door of a house is Einam in Amuchan, that's another way of saying it's Mukta. As opposed to the door of a Shita Teva Migdal, the door of a keli, being that's Mukhan, therefore the halach is that even if it's detached, it's not going to be mukta. Another halach, adam corners. A person's allowed to take a hammer, lefatzeya boyasa goizen, to open up and to crack a nut. So don't try this at home, but if somebody wants to crack a nut with a hammer, it's something he's allowed to do on Shabbos. Kardoim lachtoim boyasad velo. So a kardoim is a more dramatic, like an axe. You're allowed to take it just to press figs. Megera, you're allowed to take a saw. Lago boyasak vina, to cut cheese. Magrefa, you're allowed to take a shovel. Grefu was used to shovel coals. You can use a ligurbas agroigris to shovel figs. As a rachas ves a malzig, a rachas was a shovel that was used for winnowing. A malgez is a pitchfork. So you're allowed to do these things, lasis all of the cotton, to feed your child. As a kush ves a karkar, you're allowed to take a spindle or a karkar, or something that was used by a weaver, litchoiv boy, to stick it into a fruit, to pick up the fruit. Machat shal yad, you're allowed to use a needle, litabas a koitz, to remove a thorn, vishal sakoim. And you're allowed to use the needle that was used by people that made sacks, liftoich bayas adeles, to open up a door. Meaning, you would have thought all these things are mukta. Maybe you're not allowed to use them on Shabbos. So in the Mishnah that says kol hakelim nitolim b'Shabbos, all these things are allowed to be used for the meaning. You can't use a hammer to knock a nail into the wall. That involves doing a malacha. But if you want to use the hammer to crack open a nut, or you want to use a kardoim for a devela, or you want to use a saw to cut cheese, halach is, you'd be able to use it. Either way, the Gemara now is going to go and discuss this Mishnah in great detail. Kol hakelim nitolim b'Shabbos. And then the Mishnah said, v'af al pi shenis sparku. Kol hakelim nitolim b'Shabbos. You're allowed to carry a keli. Even if there's a door that this keli has, it's fine. And not just that, even if the door came off, still you're allowed to carry it. The Mishnah said this is a chiddush, because in contrast to a door of a house, which is mukta, this door is not going to be considered mukta. But the Mishnah said, afal pisha nesparku. And the Gemara is medayik. It sounds a little bit like what the Mishnah is saying is that even if the door would become detached on Shabbos, even then the halacha is that you would be able to carry it, it wouldn't be considered mukta. As if to say, if it got detached not on Shabbos, then kolshkein, then certainly the halacha is, it wouldn't be considered mukta. The chiddush is that even if it was attached in the beginning of Shabbos, it became detached on Shabbos, still the halacha is, you're allowed to carry it. Frank the Gemara, kol hakel nitolin, va'afal pishen esparku b'Shabbos, v'loy miboya b'chol, adarab, and svar, it should be just the opposite, b'Shabbos, mukhan mal gabi avim. If it got detached on Shabbos, that means it was attached in the beginning of Shabbos. If it was attached in the beginning of Shabbos, in the beginning of Shabbos, it was mukhan. So if it was Mukhan in the beginning of Shabbos, even though it detached on Shabbos, it makes sense that it was Mukhan. So it's still Mukhan. That's why it wouldn't be Mukta. But Bechol, but if it was detached during the week, then ein muchan al gabi avim. That means when Shabbos came, it was already detached. If that's the case, it never became muchan. If it never became muchan, so why should the halacha be that it shouldn't be muksa? Now, even if you're going to tell me, for whatever reason, even if it got detached during the week, still the halacha is it's not muksa. But what's the afalp? Adarabot. You want to know which is the bigger chiddush? It's a much bigger chiddush to say that the door is not muksa, even if it's detached when it was detached during the week, than it is to say that the door, when it's detached, is not mukta when it was detached on Shabbos. So afal pish and esparku b'Shabbos, it should be just the opposite. Adarabba, it should be afal pish and esparku b'chol. Amar Abaye said, you're right. Hachi kamar kol akein l'yitolim b'Shabbos. V'dal soyseyem imohen, and afal pish and esparku b'chol l'yitolim b'Shabbos. Afal pish and esparku is not referring to Shabbos. If you look in the Mishnah actually says the word b'Shabbos in parentheses. But the way Abaye is explaining the Gemara is that that should be in parentheses. It's afal pish and Esparku, not afal pish and esparku b'Shabbos, afal pish and esparku b'chol. And certainly, if it was esparku b'Shabbos, the point is, doesn't matter if it was detached on Shabbos, it was detached during the week. Either way, the door of the Shida Teva Migdal is not like the door of a house. The door of a house, when detached, is muktzah. The door of a Shida Teva Migdal, even when detached, doesn't matter if it happened during the week or on Shabbos, is not going to be considered muktzah. Tanu Rabban and Delashal Shida Vishal Teva Shal Migdal, Noit Lavan Loi Machzirim. So on the topic of the door of a Shida Teva Migdal, till now we discussed it in context of the halachas of muktzah. So this is a reprisa that discusses the door of a Shida Teva Migdal in another area in Hilcha Shabbos. So the halach is Noitlin. You're allowed to remove the door on Shabbos. Avaloi Loi Machzirim, you're not allowed to put it back. What about the door of a chicken coop? Now let it remove it, and now let it put it back. So the Gemara says, I understand the time of the price is being consistent. He holds that being that the chicken coop is attached to the ground, you can't just take a door off and put the door back on. Taking it off is soiser, putting it back on is baina. And if even though we're dealing with a chicken coop, you're not dealing with a house. Okay, but the chicken coop's attached to the ground. So if it's attached to the ground, yesh binyan bekarka, and yesh stir bekarka. But the point is, it's consistent. There's no distinction between removing it and putting it back on, because there's soiser and there's boina. Elish al shida v'shal teva shal migdol. But as it relates to the halach of shida teva migdol, maika savar. The chur, the time of the brisa seems to be inconsistent, because what did the time of the brisa say? Noitlin, you could be soiser, avaloi machzirin. But you can't be boina. Mon of shach. Ika savar yesh binyan b'kelim, yesh tir b'kelim. Now, shida teva migdol is a keli. Right, the Mishnah, kol ha-kelim nidolim b'Shabbos. Rashi said right away, ki goin shida teva v'migdol. A shida teva v'migdol is a keli. It's not attached to the ground. Okay, is there a halach of boina and soiser for something that's not attached to the ground? Is there boina and slicer on Kalim? So that's a major machloikis. Yesh binyan v'stira v'kalim or ain't binyan v'stira v'kalim. But the point is, if you hold yesh binyan, you hold yesh stira. And if you hold ain't binyan, you hold ain't stira. The two have to be toloi zeh b'zeh. So freak the Gemara, what did the Tana of the Braisa hold? He could have yesh binyan v'kalim, yesh stira v'kalim. He ain't stira v'kalim, ain't binyan v'kalim. He has to be consistent, and he wasn't consistent. The Tana of the Braisa said noiklin, which implies ain't stira v'kalim. You could just remove it, don't worry about slicer, but v'le machzirin. But you can't put it back on, which implies yesh binyan b'kelim. Rabbi yes, Abayis, lovim kusav yesh binyan b'kelim v'yesh stir b'kelim. Really, you have to say yesh binyan b'kelim v'yesh stir b'kelim. V'shenit l'kamar. So just like Abaya in the previous Gemara edited the Mishnah as it relates to the halacha of Shida Tevo Migdol, its door from the Muktzah perspective, Abaye is doing the same thing now to this Braisa. Again, he's editing the Braisa. He's saying that you're right. The way the Braisa reads, it's very difficult. But you have to read the Braisa as follows. Not Neutlen Avaloi Machzir. No. Vishenitlu. What the Braisa is saying is that if the door was removed, Loi Machzirin. In fact, the Braisa was never talking about Soiser. The Braisa says, if it came off by itself, now you have a shayla, you go to the Rav. Can I put the closet door back up? Or can I not put the closet door back up? The halacha is no, because the tan of this Braisa holds Yesh Binyan Bekalim, and Enochinami Yesh Stira Bekalim, but the point is edit. Not Noitlan Ava Loi Machzirin, but rather Vishenitlu, then Loi Machzirin. Malay Rav, Rav told Abaya, Shtei Chuvasav. Two problems, Abaya, with the pshat that you just gave. Chodo, the Noitlan Tani. First of all, it's not what the Braisa says. So you can't just edit a Braisa. A hefkevelt. It's not what the Braisa says. Va'oid, and not just that. My avol loy machzirim. The lashon of the Braisa was avol loy machzirim. Noitlin avol. If the word noitlin is switched to vishenitlu, okay, vishenitlu, if it was removed, avol loy machzirim. Vishenitlu loy machzirim. What's the word avol? So number one, Rava said, it doesn't say vishenitlu, it says noitlin. Very big difference. Neutlin suggests you could do Sicer. Vishenitlu says you can't do Sicer. If it came off, Then, number one. Number two, what about the word Aval? Elam HaRavah, so Rava said, Kasavar ain't binyam b'keilim, ve'ain stir b'keilim. Really, the time of the Brisa holds, there's no binyam b'keilim, there's no stir b'keilim. Ay, if that's the case, what's the kasha? Why Avaloi machzir? Meaning, if there's no binyam, there's no stir b'keilim, we understand noitlen. But what does Avaloi machzirin mean? Zera Shema Yiska. The reason the time of the Brisa said you shouldn't put it back on is not because putting it back on in and of itself constitutes binyam. It's a keili. There's no binyam when it comes to keili. The reason this is an issue is a gzera, we were afraid that you may wedge it in really, really well. You may make it takua. And if you do that, then you're getting involved in makabe patish. So then could be you'd get involved in a different malacha. But enochinami, there's no real boina, there's no real soiser. There's no real soiser, that's why noiklin. Really, there's no boina, that's why really it should be machsirim. Why the time of the brisa say loy machsirim? It's only because of the isidira bona. Either way, this concludes the first part of the daf, which dealt with a shida, a teva, and a migdal. These are things that in halacha are qualified as kalim. They had doors, which makes them unique from a Hilcha Shabbos perspective. How so? Two ways. Number one, if the door is detached from this shida, the wagon, the teva, the box, the migdol, the closet, is the door muktzah or is the door not muktzah? The Mishnah addressed that. Second question, if the door is detached, am I allowed to put it back up on Shabbos? The Braisa addressed that. Either way, says the Gemara Vayter. The Mishnah said, Noitel Adam Kornis. So if a person wants to crack a nut on Shabbos, so there's ways to do it. One way, apparently, is you can take a hammer. So you take a hammer, you can crack a nut. If somebody wants to press figs, so there's the conventional way of doing it. But the Mishnah says, if you want, you can take a kardoim that people usually work with in a field. Megera, you can use a saw. If you want to cut cheese, you can use a magrefo, which was used to shovel coals, ligur by sagraigris, to shovel your dried figs, etc., etc. So the Gemara is going to bring now a major machloikis amayroim, which goes to the heart of a very important halacha in Hilchas Muktzah, in terms of what exactly this hammer and this saw and all these kalim that the Mishnah was referring to was. Amar Rav Yehuda. The Amayra Rav Yehuda said, Kornish al agoizim lefatseya, but yes, agoizim. When the Mishnah says that a person is allowed to use a hammer to crack a nut, it means a hammer that's miyuchad for cracking nuts. So if a person has a hammer that he uses to crack nuts, then he's allowed to use it on Shabbos. Avol shel nafachim loy. But if a person wants to use a regular hammer, the hammer that was used by the blacksmith when he worked in his factory, then you're not allowed to use. Why? Because he holds that hammer is a keli shem melachto le'iser, and a keli shem melachto le'iser you're not allowed to use on Shabbos. Afilu litzoyrich gufay, even if you're using it for a permitted use, aser dalachis, it's going to be aser. Now the truth is, the Gemara on daf chav gimel amid beis, we're going to see this in the next daf, is going to get into the history of the halach of keli shem melachto le'iser and some of the details. But it's important to know, just for this Gemara, that there was a machlokes amayroim as it relates to keli shemalachta leiser, that subcategory of muktzah. So if I want to use that keli, which usually, conventionally, was used for something that you're not allowed to do on Shabbos, a pen. A pen is a keli shemalachta. What do you do with a pen? You write with it. Koisev is something that you're not allowed to do. So it's a keli, pen. Shemalachta, the malacha that people usually do with it, is aser. It's koisev, which is one of the 39 malachas. What if I want to use it now for a davar mutar? So the halacha is that it's a category of muktzah, which implies that it's not pasha, that you'd be allowed to use it. Stating that, the war amiram that held that if you're using it letzayrich gufay, or you're being metaltal it, letzayrich gufay, you needed it for a specific reason, or letzayrich mekoymai, I don't even need to use the pen, but the pen is sitting is lying someplace, and I need that place that the pen is lying. That too could be a reason for me to be able to use it. So from the fact that Rabbi Yehuda said that I wouldn't be able to use a regular blacksmith's hammer, for example, to crack a nut, and the only cornice that I'm allowed to use is the cornice that was used specifically to crack nuts on Shabbos. So what does that mean? That means that the blacksmith's hammer, being that it's a keli shemalachta le'iser, I'm now not allowed to use it on Shabbos, even l'tzayich gufa, even though I have a real purpose for it. It doesn't matter. Still, the halach is, it's going to be muktzos. That's what the Gemara says. Kasavar must be, Rabbi Yehuda holds, that a dover shemalachta le'iser, afilu l'tzayich gufa, aser, is going to be aser. Rashi says, and if Rabbi Yehuda holds, that a dover shemalachta le'iser is aser l'tzayich gufa, kolshkein, it's Rashi's lashon, kolshkein l'tzayich mekoymoy, if I don't need the hammer, I just need the place where the hammer is, certainly that's going to be a problem. But says the Gemara, Rabbi told Rabbi Yehuda, Elamayat, if that's the case, Zevi Diktani, how do you understand the Sefer the Mishnah? So the Mishnah gave a whole bunch of examples of people that are using
unconventional tools in the kitchen. So one of the things I mentioned was, Vesarachas, Vesamalges, Lassalvagot. You're allowed to take the shovel that was used for winnowing, or you're allowed to take a pitchfork, and you're allowed to use it to feed your children. Frank the Gemara. Rachas, Umalges, Mimi Achtele, Lakotan. Meaning, if the hammer is a hammer that was miyuchit for cracking nuts, so you can tell me the pitchfork was miyuchit to serve your children. What kind of mother serves his child with a pitchfork? There's no such thing. Ella, my rabbi said, that's a gilui on the whole Mishnah. Must be the Mishnah's talking about, no. You use the regular hammer, the blacksmith's hammer, to crack a nut. Just like you use the pitchfork that was used in the field to serve your child. And if that's the case, what do you see from here? That even though these kalim that the Mishnah mentioned and are all dvarim shemalachton le'iser, but kasava davar shemalachton le'iser, it's like, kufay mutter, it's v'abay le'rabbi. Abay asked Rabbi Akash, a meducha, a mortar. So a mortar was used to crush garlic. There was a pestle and a mortar. So the mortar is where the garlic was. It was used to crush garlic. If there's garlic inside, you're allowed to carry it. And if not, you're not allowed to carry it. Now, why are you not allowed to carry it? Probably because the meducha, this mortar, is a kelish shemalach de le'iser. The reason it's a kelish shemalach de le'iser is because it was used to crush garlic. Crushing garlic involves the malach of toichin, so it's a kelish shemalach de le'iser. So you see, if it's a kelish shemalach de le'iser, you're not allowed to use it, even l'tzorich gufay. Right? It sounds like ein metalton le'iser, you can never use it. Now, if there's garlic inside, you are allowed to use it. You have to know why. But that's not for now. What we need to know is if there's no garlic inside, you're not allowed to use it. Why? Because it's a kelish shemalach de le'iser. So you see clearly, a kelish shemalach de le'iser, you're never allowed to use. Amale sabayato. So the Gemara said, so Rabbi told Abaya, how many Rav Nechemya? No, don't ask me a kash from that price, because I can tell you that price is going to Rav Nechemya. Don't make clean it. Rav Nechemya is a big machmer when it comes to muktzah, so maybe that price is going according to Rav Nechemya. But we don't possibly like Rav Nechemya. I never said my halacha alibi the Rav Nechemya, but shaloi alibi the Rav Nechemya. If you have a dove shemalachta leiser, could be you can use a letzarech gufay and maybe even letzarech mekaymay, and that's my pshat in the Mishnah, said Rabbi. When the Mishnah says you can use a hammer to crack a nut, it was referring to the hammer that was used by the blacksmith. But the Gemara asks another kasha. The Beishamah says, "A noitlin esha eli lekatze v'alabos." You're not allowed to take the pestle to chop meat on top of it. Beisul matir and Beisul says it's mutter. V'shavim, they both agree. Shem kitze v'alabos shasul tatle. I mean, there was machleis Beishamah's hill. If you're allowed to use this board that was usually used to crush garlic to now chop meat on top of it. Beis Shammai, who's usually machmer, said no. Beis Hillel, who's usually mekel, said yeah. Okay. But everybody agrees that if you're not using it to chop meat, asul l'talta, it's going to be considered muktzah. Now, if it's muktzah, why are you allowed to chop meat on it? So that's the Gemara Masechtas Beya, and the Gemara over there says it was a special kula mishum simchas yontif that Beis Hillel was mater. But again, that's not the part of this that we need. We need the other part, the agav part. And that is, everybody agrees that if you're not using it for meat, there's no machlekes b'shavim Beis Hillel. V'shavim she'em kitzav al basa. You already used it to chop your meat. She'asul l'talta. Why? Again, probably because it's a kelish shemalach de le'iser. It's usually used for crushing garlic. So you see over here, kelish shemalach de le'iser, asul l'talta, even l'tzarech gufay, the Gemara says, sovel l'shnu like Rav Nechemya. So when Rabbi heard this kasha, he wanted to give the same teretz. Right, Abai asked the kasha from Rabbi, from the Medoicha. What was Rabbi's answer? Oh, it's true. You have a braisa maybe that says that a klisha malachta le'iser is also a talta afilu tzarech gufay. But maybe that's going from the Nechemya. So now Abai asked another kasha, not from the Meducha, from the Eli, but same teretz, right? Maybe it's going according to the Nechemya. So the Gemara says that's really what Rabbi wanted to say. But given the shami lohad amar Rabbi Chinner Bashlami mishpein the Rab, hakom moedim besikis yoriu mezori. Everybody agrees when it comes to those kalim. So Rashi has different pshat than what they are. One pshat Rashi says klitzavoyim. These are kalim that were used by dyers. Rashi brings for Rabbeinu Alevi that says they were kli organ, kalim that were used by weavers. But the point is, these kalim, kim in the kavod alayu, being that they're very expensive, and people don't just use these kalim for anything, miyached lohu makim, people store them in a very specific place, and they're considered muktzah on a higher level. What's the name of this muktzah? Which subcategory? Muktzah machmas chisar and kis. It's because it's very valuable, and people aren't just going to use it for anything. So hachanam yachad lo makan. So Rabbi said, oh, as it relates to this shayla, as it relates to the Eli, that was already expensive. And being that it was expensive, so it's muktzah machmas chisar and kis. If it's muktzah, it's nothing to do with a davish malach de l'iser. Davish malach de l'iser, yeah, machmas kufay would be mutter. Something that's muktzah machmas chisar and kis is mochamer. So even if it's machmas kufay,
it's going to be a problem. So up until this point, we have a machloikis between Rav Yehuda and Rabba. Abaye is firing away at Rabba, but we have a machloikis on Rav. Rav Yehuda on the one hand, and Rabba on the other hand, had to understand the Mishnah. Again, the Mishnah discussed, let's just pick the first case. Someone's allowed to take a hammer on Shabbos to crack open a nut. The question is, what kind of hammer are we talking about? Your hammer, you open up your toolbox, they take out a hammer, and you're allowed to use it to crack a nut? Rav Yehuda said, no way. Kurnish shalagoysim. You're only allowed to use the kurnish, the hammer that was used specifically for nuts. Rabbi says, no, even the kurnish shalnafachim, even the one that was used by the blacksmith. What's the hesber in the machloikis? A hammer that was used by a blacksmith is mukta, but it's mukta machmas iser. It's dover shemelachtoy leiser. So being that it's dover shemelachtoy leiser, here's the question. Can I be metaltal or dover shemelachtoy leiser if it's letzorech gufo, if I need it? You're right, just to be metaltal for no reason, for sure not. That's the halach of dover shemelachtoy leiser is mukta. But it's not for no reason. I'm not doing it frivolously. I'm doing it with a purpose. I'm doing a melachas machsheves. I need it. I want it. I want to crack open a nut. Is it okay or is it not okay? Rabbi Yehuda clearly holds that a davar shemelachtoy leiser is aser to be metaltal even letzorech gufo is akrashi the koshkein letzorech mekoymai, whereas Rabba holds that a davar shemelachtoy leiser is mutter to be metaltal letzorech gufo. So on that note, itma Rabbi Chiya bar Rabba om Rabbi Yochanan. Chiya bar said the name Rabbi Yochanan kurnish shel zahavim shoninu. So Rabbi Chiya bar Rabba said over in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that he held like Rabba that this kurnish is not a kurnish that was miyuchad for cracking nuts, but it's a cornice that was used for a blacksmith. But he said even a bigger chiddush. Not only one that was used by a blacksmith, but even one that was used by a goldsmith. So the goldsmith didn't just work in metal. The goldsmith worked in gold. Now gold is already very valuable. And because gold is very valuable, a person's going to be a lot more particular what he takes the hammer that he uses to hack his gold to use. So being that he's going to be more sensitive, there'd be more of a svara to say that maybe it should be mukta. Mukta machlas chasar and kiss perhaps, but there'd be more of a svara why it should be mukta. So Rabbi Chiya bar Rabba said that I was mekabel from the greatest Rebbe Rabbi Yochanan that he learned the Mishnah like Rabba, and not only learned the Mishnah like Rabba, but he even said a little more. He added a knech, even not a blacksmith, but even a goldsmith. That's a bigger chiddush. Even that Rabbi Shem bar Rabba said even a bigger chiddush. Kurnish al besam shaninu. Even allowed to use a hammer that was used to make spices. Why is that a bigger chiddush? Because if someone's going to use a hammer to make spices, so, you know, spices smell good. It's a sensitive thing that he's using. So again, he's not going to just use the hammer for anything. So the Gemara says, Nandam, the psalmim, the one that said you could use the hammer of psalmim, kolshkein dezahavim. Believe it or not, the person who used the hammer for spices was more sensitive than the one who used it for gold. Nandam, shel zahavim, out with the psalmim, kapat alai. But anyway, these two shitas were both going according to Rabba, who said that a klisha malachta lis letzorech gufa is mutter. And when the Mishnah says kornis, it means even a regular kornis, being that you're doing it for a davar mutter now, it's letzorech gufay, therefore it's going to be okay. Again, machloikis is a blacksmith, that was Rabbi's nusach, Rabbi Chiya bar Rabba said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, it's a kornish al zahavim, even a goldsmith. And now we have the third sheet, the Rabbi Shemin bar Rabba, who said, even a kornish al basam. It's three sheetas, but all really wrapped in one. V'es ha-kush, v'es ha-karkar. The Mishnah said that you're allowed to use a spindle or a keli that was used by the weaver to pick up fruit. Tanu Rabbanon, pagush etomna b'tav. If somebody has an unripe fig that was buried underneath straw. So the person took the unripe fig, he wants it to ripen, and the way he's ripening it, he's burying it in straw. So the halacha is, if it's that way on Shabbos, or somebody has a cake that was buried inside coals, so the halacha is, if part of it is exposed, then the halacha is, you're allowed to take the paga, the fig, or you're allowed to take the charor, the cake, on Shabbos, and if not, it's going to be also. The issue here is that the tevin, the straw is mukta. The gecholim, the coals, are mukta. So by you removing the paga from within the tevin, or by you removing the charora from within the gecholim, you could move the paga, you can move the charora. The issue is the tevin. The issue is the gecholim. So you're running into a little bit of a mukta issue. So the halacha is like this. If it's exposed, then it's not a problem. Because then you're just going to take the exposed part of the paga, the exposed part of the charora, you're going to pick it up, and you're never going to have to touch the mukta. So if you're never going to have to touch the mukta, so what's the problem? And now even though the mukta may somehow fall by the wayside, but you're never making any contact with it, and as a result, you have nothing to worry about. If it's not exposed even a little bit, then it's going to be a problem.
No, like the Mishnah said, you're allowed to take a kush or a karka, those kalim that the Mishnah said, you're allowed to take, and you're allowed to use it, the himenares me'eleim. I mean, you can surgically go in and take the item, and the fact that you're going to be moving what's on top of it is not an issue. And the reason is because even though by doing this, you're inevitably going to move the straw, you're inevitably going to move the coals, but it's what's called a tiltum and atzad. You're not moving it in the conventional way, you're moving it in the unconventional way. And clearly, Rabbi Elazar ben Tadoi was of the opinion that tiltum min atzad lo yishmei tiltum. I'm Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said, "Aloch, Rabbi Elazar ben Tadoi." No, it's Rav Nachman's paskening tiltum min atzad lo yishmei. Afraid to go, maybe the suffer Rav Nachman tiltum min atzad lo yishmei tiltum. I'm Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman himself said, "Hi puglo, if you have a radish that's also being preserved, it's underground milmalo lamatashari. If the way you put it into the ground was milmaila lamata with the bigger part facing up, then you're allowed to take it out. The reason is because some of it is exposed. So like this, you don't necessarily have to touch the ground. You don't have to be metaltal any muktza. I mean, mata lamata also. But if it's in the reverse way, then it's going to be also. Which was essentially the Chachamim Shita in this Braisa, not like Rabbi Elazar ben Tadoi. So you have a steer in Rav Nachman. Here Rav Nachman paskin like Rabbi Elazar ben Tadoi, and here Rav Nachman's paskin like the Chachamim. And really, it boils down to another fundamental question in the world of Mukta. Tiltum and Atzat Shmei Tiltum. Either way, which one does Rav Nachman hold? So Gemara says, how do Rav Nachman? You have to say Rav Nachman was Chayzer from the last Talacha. The Talacha regarding the Pugla, the Talacha regarding the radish, meaning he's held that halacha, Rabbi Elazar ben Tadoi, Rav Nachman Shita is that a tiltum and atzad is loish mei tiltum. Machat shal yad litum. But the Mishnah says that you're allowed to take a machat, you're allowed to take a needle to remove a splinter on Shabbos. Sholach Rava breder, Rabbi the Rav Yosef. So Rabbi had a son, Rava. Rabbi had a Talmud Rava, as an Abaye in Rava. But Rabbi also had a son, Rava, and Rabbi's son, Rava, sent a shaila to Rav Yosef. So it's interesting. He didn't send the shaila to his father Rabbah. He sent the shaila to Rav Yosef. It could be this was during the 2.5 years, last Gemara Masechtas Brachas, the last 2.5 years of Rav Yosef's life when Rabbah was alive. Rabbah passed away 2.5 years before Rav Yosef. There was a shaila, who should be the Rosh Yeshiva? Should Rabbah be the Rosh Yeshiva? Or should Rabbi Yosef be the Rosh Yeshiva? Rabbah was an Oikaharim, Rabbi Yosef was a Sinai, Sinai Adif, Oikaharim Hadif. And they sent the shaila to Eretz Yisrael, and they came back with a Psak, Sinai Adif. So really, Rabbi Yosef was supposed to be the Rosh Yeshiva, but Rabbi Yosef didn't want to be the Rosh Yeshiva. Because he spoke to the astrologers, and they told him that he was only going to be Melech for 2 years. So he didn't want to be Rosh Yeshiva. So he sat on the side. Rabbi became Rosh Yeshiva for 22 years, Chav Beis Shana, it's Gemara in the end of Brachas, and Rabbi Yosef, after Rabbi passed away, was Rosh Yeshiva, not for 2 years, for 2.5 years. But either way, so it could be this happened during those 2.5 years, but Rabbi is not sending the Shaila to his father. He's sending the Shaila to Rabbi Yosef. Yilamdenu Rabbeinu, Rosh Yeshiva teach us, if someone has a machat, he has a needle, and the chararo, the eye of the needle was removed. So this chararo doesn't mean a cake, but rather, this chararo means the eye, Ukta, or the point of the needle was removed. What's the question? Is it mukta or not mukta? He told him, Tinisua, our Mishnah, machat shayad, bito ba'as hakoitz. You see that you're allowed to use a machat, you're allowed to use a needle to remove a thorn. So what was his point? To remove a splinter. Meaning, if the reason you're allowed to use a needle is to sew, for example, okay, then anukinami, if it doesn't have the point, if you don't have the hole, you can't use it for its ordinary purpose, so there's an argument to be made that maybe now all of a sudden it's going to be muktzah. But being that the Mishnah said that a permitted usage of a machat is to remove a splinter, the splinter doesn't care if it has a hole, doesn't care how sharp it is, and if that's the case, then l'chura, it shouldn't be muktzah. So the Gemara says, Eisevei, the Gemara asks the kasha, on Rav Yosef, machat shenitl chararo, oy uktzah, tohoiro. And this is a Mishnah in the 13th parak of Masechtas Kehilot. If you have a machat, it doesn't have the chararo, doesn't have the uktzah, it's going to be tar. What does it mean it's tar? It's not tamen. Now this is Masechtas Kehilot. What's the backdrop of Masechtas Kehilot? A keli is shayich to be tamen. But if something's not a keli, it's not tame. So if something was a keli, it became tame, and now you didn't put it in the mikvah, but it's not a keli anymore, so the halachas is not going to be mukta anymore. Now we have a mefurish mishnah that a machat shenitl charoi uktas tayra. So if it's tar, it's not a keli. It's not a keli, it should be mukta for sure. So the Gemara says, I'm Rabbi, Abaye said, Tumah Shabbos Karamis, can't ask a steer from Tumah to Shabbos. They have commonalities, as we've seen a lot of laws of Tumah v'Tayra Masechta Shabbos, but at the end of the day, they're not the same thing. Tumah kli ma'isa be'inan. As it relates to the laws of Tumah, you need a keli, you need a keli that's a kli ma'isa. But le'inyan Shabbos midi dechaze be'inan. As it relates to Shabbos, as long as it's something that can be used, that would be enough of a keli. Meaning the standard, the threshold of what the definition of a keli is as it relates to Tumah is different than the threshold of what the definition of a keli is as it relates to Shabbos. As it relates to Shabbos, it just has to be a keli. So this is a keli. You can use it to remove a splinter. That's fine. For Tumah, it has to be a kli maisa. It's based on psukim. But the standard's a little higher. And being that the standard's a little bit higher, so it's for that reason that Allah is not going to be okay. Meaning, as it relates to Shabbos, it's enough of a keli. You're right. As it relates to Tumah, it's not going to be considered a keli. Oh my, Rava. So Rava said, Manda kamaisa, Shabbos kamaisa. Rava said, I disagree. He overheard this exchange. He said, I think the kasha that was asked Rabbi Yosef was a good kasha. Because at the end of the day, midalin yin Tumah l'manu, l'in Shabbos not l'manu. What's this chiluk kli ma'isa, not kli ma'isa? Either it's a keli or it's not a keli. And if it's a mafurish mishnah masechtas kelim that machat shenitel charoro yukta tahir, you see it's not a keli. So if it's not a keli, it shouldn't be a keli in Shabbos either. So the Gemara says meisve machat, but the Gemara has the kash on rava machat bein nekuva bein chayin nekuva mutal taltal b'Shabbos. Oh, it's a mafurish from a brayso. But the yomer nekuva eli yin tumah bavad. Meaning, Rav Yosef paskind that a machat. Again, this is something very subtle, literally. It's a little needle that doesn't have the pointy edge or it doesn't have the hole in it. So the halacha is, it's not going to be considered muktzah. The reason is because you could still use it. Because one of the things you can use a machat for, our Mishnah said, that's why we're discussing it now, because it relates to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said you can use it to remove a splinter. Okay, you can use this, you can remove the splinter even if it doesn't have the hole. So if that's the case, based on that, the halacha is, Rav Yosef paskin, that it would not be considered muktzah. Whereas the kasha from a Mishnah, Mishnah Masechtas Kelim, machat shenitel charora or uktzah tahira. So you see that if a machat doesn't have the charora, the uktzah, it's not a keli anymore with regards to tumah v'tayra. So the assumption is, if it's not considered a keli with regards to tumah v'tayra, it shouldn't be a keli with regards to muktzah, meaning it should be muktzah. So the Gemara is shakla v'tayra. Could you be mechalik between the definition of a keli and your muktzah tumah? Can you not be mechalik between the definition of a keli and your muktzah tumah? But the Gemara says, Meisvei, this is not open for debate. Why not Meiram discussing this? It's a mafurish abraisa. Again, machat bein nekuva bein she'ina nekuva mutal ataltva b'shabes v'lo yomru nekuva el inyan tumah levad. So the Tana, this braisa, is aware of that Mishnah Masechtas Kelim. He referenced it. V'lo yomru nekuva el inyan tumah levad. He's referring to that Mishnah in the 13th parak of Masechtas Kelim. And he said clearly that's only with regards to tumah. It's nothing to do with Shabbos. So what's this whole nidoin amongst Amiram? So the Gemara says, Tigra v'ayah, libi the Rava. So Abaye said to answer Rava, begol me'askina. No, Kubi, this braisa is about something else. This price is talking about, you have a keli that doesn't have a hole in it, you have a keli that's not pointy yet, this needle, but it was never pointy. It never had the hole. You're still in the process of making it. You're in the process of manufacturing it. It's somewhere in the process of being manufactured. Over there, the halacha is in the mimlech halayu mash v'lumam. There, it's considered a keli with regards to Shabbos. Aval heicha denital charora yukta. But if it once had the hole, if it once had the point, and then it was removed, adam zark leben grutoy. Someone's going to take it, he's going to throw it together with all the scrap metal that he has. It's not something he's going to keep. Over there, it's going to be different. Meaning, enochinami there's a brisa, but the brisa doesn't necessarily mean that Rava and all the Amiram that discuss us were wrong. Because the Braisa was talking about where it never was fashioned as a proper keli. Over there, Le'inyan Shabbos, being that it could be used to remove a splinter, we're going to use it as a keli. We're going to deem it halachically as a keli. It's not going to be considered mukta. Even though it's not a keli with regards to Tumah, it will be a keli with regards to Shabbos. But once it was a keli and now something happened to it, could be over there. It could be over there. Just like it's not a keli with regards to Tumah, it's not a keli with regards to Tumah. What's the difference? Difference is, if it was never a proper keli, people will sometimes use it to remove a splinter. If it was once a proper keli, nobody's going to. Another halacha, asuvi yenuka. So there was a custom once upon a time when babies were born. So there was a midwife that would straighten out the limbs of the baby. And the question is, could you do it on Shabbos or not? Rav Nachman Aser, Rav Sheish Shashari. Now, the reason Rav Nachman holds his Aser is interesting. It's because Rashi says, the Domi Lemesakin, the last Rashi on the Omid. It's because it's similar to Tikkun Mana. So this is not a keli per se, it's a person. But you're being mesakin, you're perfecting the child. I mean, you're perfecting the child. Rav Nachman said it's up. She says, no, it's not gonna be a problem. So look, I'm Rav Nachman, how do I know? Time we learned to the Mishnah, a person is not allowed to take something eat something to cause him to vomit, to cause him to throw up on Shabbos. Now, he's not doing this for refuah reasons, because if he's doing it for refuah reasons, it would for sure be aser. He's doing it for some other reason. But the point is, he's not allowed to do it on Shabbos. Rabbi Nachman said, why not allowed to do it on Shabbos? You know why? Probably because the person is a better person now. Oh, so you see, there's a concept of tikkun mana, even by a gavra, even by a mensch, not only by a chefza. So if that's the case, so too, I think, said Rav Nachman, to take the baby and to be a suvi yunuka, that would also be an issue. Rav Sheshes, no, it's different. Hasam lav urche, hacha urche. That's lav urche. That's something that's out of the ordinary. So that is taka going to be awesome. It's out of the ordinary. It's like a tikkun mana. But this is a regular, normal thing to do. This is not tikkun mana. This is... Tikkun mana means where there's an issue. Right? You're dealing with a problem. You're going now and you're fixing the problem. This is not an issue that's being rehabilitated. This is normal. This is what they used to do when babies were born. So this is not tikkun mana per se. I'm Rav Sheshes. No, I mean, how do I know? I have a right to my shita, get a raya that just perfecting the child a little bit is not considered tikkun mana. Time we learned in the Mishnah, Machachal Yad, Lita Bas, Akkois. You see, you let her remove a splinter on Shabbos. Why you let her remove a splinter on Shabbos? Why don't you say tikkun mana? Oh, so it's a raya. There's no tikkun mana by a child. Rav Nachman says, no, it's different. Hasan pocket, Hachalei pocket. You're not making the person a better person when you remove the splinter, because the splinter was never part of the person. The splinter was pocket. It was there. It was embedded. It was part of the child, but it wasn't part and parcel of the person. I mean, there wasn't part and parcel of the person. Removing a splinter doesn't affect the actual person. As a result, that's pashut, that's not the gemana. But to take the baby and to start fixing its limbs, said Rav Nachman, maybe that's going to be different. Kono shel zeisim. A kono, a stick that was used to turn over olives. So this is in the process of making oil. So there was this long stick, a long pole that was used to flip the olive. So the halacha is, im yesh kesha b'roishoy, if there's a knot at the one of its ends, mekabel toma, it's mekabel toma v'im lav, and if not, meaning there is no knot, ain't mekabel toma. Ben kach nita b'Shabbos, either way you let it carry it on Shabbos. So this kana shel zeisim you can carry on Shabbos. That's easy. As it relates to toma, it depends. If there's a knot, it's mekabel toma. If there is no knot, it's not mekabel toma. Why is it mekabel toma if there's a knot? Pshutik liyetsu, this kana was made of wood, and it didn't have a receptacle, it was just a piece of wood. If that's the case, this is Hilchos Tumah V'Tayro 101. Upshute Kliyetz, Eina Mekabel Tumah. The halacha is a piece of wood is only Mekabel Tumah if it has a base kibble. But if it has no receptacle, it's not Mekabel Tumah. Sefei the Gemara, it's Upshute Kliyetz. So Luchura, it shouldn't be Mekabel Tumah. So the Gemara, my time to be doing the Sak. It's because we learned it out from Sak. The Torah says a Sak is Mekabel Tumah, and Sak, somehow, a Sak is the standard of what's Mekabel Tumah. And anything mentioned the same pasuk as Sak is only mekabel toma if it's similar in its physical properties to a sack. Bottom line is, wood is mentioned together with a sack. Wood's only mekabel toma if it's like a sack. A sack has something that you put things into. It's a big bag. So too, eitz is only mekabel toma if it has a base kibble. So the Gemara's kasha is, so why is the kana shel zeisim if it has a not mekabel toma? Isn't it pshutik liyetz? Tana b'shmeid Reb Nechemya, b'shashem ha'apich b'zeisim ha'yifu v'rayibay. Because what happened is, that knot sometimes would indent a little bit. And because it had this little indentation, it made it into a little bit of a base kibble, and a little bit of oil would get in there sometimes. And in fact, the person that was being mahapik the zeisim, he would be hoichvay v'royavoy. He would actually look at the other edge to see if any oil got trapped there. And if it did, he would take it out. So you see that the indentation in the knot is considered a base kibble. So it's not pshutei kliyetz. If it's not pshutei kliyetz, that's why it's mekabel toma. A little bit more. You're allowed to carry all kelim on Shabbos. So again, we're learning the name of the parak is kol ha-kelim. We're talking about different kelim that you're allowed to carry on Shabbos, different kelim that you're not allowed to be metaltal on Shabbos because of mukta. So Rabbi Yossi comes and he made a very bold statement. Kol ha-kelim nitalim. You're allowed to carry all kelim on Shabbos. Chutz, there's two exceptions. Hamaser agadol, that's a large saw. The yosei shel machresha. So what's a yosei shel machresha? So in English, that's a coulter. In simple English, Rashi says that's the sakin, that's the knife that was on the bottom of the plow. So when they plowed in the field, how do you rummage through the dirt? Something has to break through it. So you had a knife underneath. Amar Rav Nachman, hay uchla de katsri ke yosei shel machresha dami. So this uchla was a keli that was used by the launderer. It's similar to the yosei shel machresha. The halacha is it's going to be mukta. Amar Abaya said charbet ushpechi. The knife that was used by the tanner is also similar to that. V'sakina dashkafta, or the knife that was used by the butcher. V'chatzina denagri, or this is something that cut that was used by the carpenter. Ki yaseh shemachreish adam, he's only going to be considered like the yaseh shemachreish. What's the point? I mean, even the Rabbi Yossi said, kol hakel nitolim, and he only gave two exceptions, chutz min ha-maser agad, v'yaseh shemachreish, it's left after those two. But rather, those two are just symbolic of types of kelim that are considered muktzah. Now, what's unique about those things? So Rashi says in the Mishnah, the Hanuch Kopit Alayu. Those are things that people are makbid on. Umiyachid lahem makoim, tloichazil mach sacheres, meaning it's muktzah machmas chisar and kiss, and being that it's machmas, muktzah machmas chisar and kiss, you're not going to be able to carry it. So again, even though B'Yosi only gave two exceptions, really there are more than two exceptions, and we will stop here.